Nanda Maharaj visits King Bishwabhanu. Once upon a time, the illustrious and powerful King Bishwabhanu met with his ministers to discuss inviting Vrajaraj Nanda and his family for a visit. With all intelligence, Bishwabhanu Maharaj submissively upheld the family traditions and executed them in a wonderful, beautiful way. He desired to celebrate the festival in a grand style, and he wanted Radhika, the embodiment of the art of cooking, to prepare her finest dishes. He sent a nursemaid's daughter named Sucharita, who possessed good character and auspicious qualities, to convey his plan to Radha. Coming before Radha, Sucharita said, "Your parents want you to prepare a grand feast for the upcoming visit of the King of Vrindavan. I will not leave here until I see you depart for your father's palace." As the Sakis happily worship Radhika, she fills them with joy in return. Sucharita also addressed the other Sakis attending Radhika. "Listen, Shami, Radha's father wants you to give up your pretension of laziness and help the other Sakis. It will be good for you to uphold the etiquette of family traditions. Oh, Vishakhi, you should also bring your friend Lalita, who always exhibits a playful nature." Smiling, Lalita replied to Sucharita, "Oh, auspicious one, why are we suddenly invited to a festival?" Sucharita replied, "It is not a surprise event. When the King of Vrindavan celebrated Krishna's birthday, he invited everyone to participate. After attending this Mahotsava, King Bishwabhanu got the idea to hold a similar festival in his palace. So naturally he thought to invite the king of the coward men who possesses pure consciousness. After riding in the chariot of the mind for a long time, this joyful festival is about to be held. It will definitely be an ecstatic event." Shamasaki said, "O one who excels all in good qualities, no doubt it will be a wonderful festival. Who will not enjoy bliss by attending this rewarding festival? We must immediately start preparing, since this is the order of Radha's father." Then all the gopis went to the magnificent palace of King Bishwabhanu. It seemed that the embodiment of all joyous festivals had manifested there. King Bishwabhanu welcomed the Sakis. "Are you feeling happy?" After Radhika paid obeisances, he smelled her head and said, "Auspicious one, please use all your cooking skills to make very delicious and tempting preparations. Surely your lotus hands will attain perfection by cooking this feast. Tomorrow the king of the coward men, his wife, family, and Krishna and Balaram will take their meal here." Lalita said, "Oh, father, have you collected all the necessary ingredients?" King Bishwabhanu replied, "Not just today, but for many days we have been arranging for this Mahotsava. For a long time I have been eager to observe this. Now all the ingredients have been procured in unlimited amounts. You cannot see the end of them. Enter the storeroom and see for yourself. Please consider if all the proper divine articles and items have been assembled. If the best of anything remains to be collected, then please tell me and I will immediately get it." All the effulgent, slender-waisted Sakis like Lalita, Vishakha, and others expert in the art of cooking met and joyfully entered the enchanting kitchen. After paying obeisances to Mother Kirtida, the Sakis inspected the ingredients. Meanwhile, Krishna returned from the forest with the cows. Seeing her approaching son, Mother Yashoda, who was glorified by all the demigods like Lord Shiva and Brahma, anxiously desired to speak to him. In a lovable, unpretentious way, Krishna cast fresh, sidelong glances to reciprocate with each one of his friends. He walked with the gait of a lordly elephant in rut. Yashoda said in a sweet voice, "Oh, Vatsa, the honorable King Bishwabhanu, who is opulent with the wealth of many bulls, desires to host you tomorrow at his palace. After consulting his ministers and associates, he sent an invitation. My darling, you should go there tomorrow to reciprocate with his loving request. Your friends will stay back to tend the cows, so tomorrow you need not go to the forest." Krishna, The ocean of compassion said, "How is it possible for me to go alone and eat without my friends? What is the use of such an invitation?" Yashoda, who fully knows the laws of social etiquette, replied, "Do not be distressed in your mind. If you cannot give up your attachment to your friends, then just stay home with them." After she said this, Krishna, who removes the distress of everyone in the universe, forgot about going to the forest. Contemplating the upcoming festival, Krishna remembered the sweet name, form, and qualities of Radhika. As Krishna fixed his mind on Radhika, his affection for Radha increased more and more. Then Krishna meditated on all the wonderful preparations that Radha would make on the order of her father. On the day of the Mahotsava, King Brishabhadu beamed happily like the rays of the rising sun. Brajeshwari Yashoda received a warm greeting upon arriving in Varshala. After offering obeisances to the queen of Vrindavan, the younger ladies of the house glorified her. "Please listen attentively as we recount how Kirtita Devi, Radhika's mother, praised you. She said, 'Even Saraswati cannot properly describe the wonderful nature of the creeper of Mother Yashoda's parental love. How then can I possibly glorify her?' As a devotee of Lord Hari can remove the miseries of material existence, similarly, Yashoda's visit to our house will remove all inauspiciousness. Rohini Devi and her all-auspicious family members will also be welcomed into our house. I hope they will be kind and bestow their compassion on me. Tell them that they need not bathe at home, but they can quickly come here and do all their bathing in our palace." Rajeshwari Yashoda affectionately addressed them. "O ladies, you have conquered us by your humble praises. You need not treat us so respectfully or worry about us, because we can take care of ourselves." King Brishabhanu had collected beautiful paraphernalia from all directions in order to offer a royal reception to Maharaj Nanda, the king of the coward men. Lavish decorations beautified the entire city of Varshana. Beginning from the city gate, gorgeous ornaments adorned the entire royal road. Strings of sweetly jingling bells hung over the roadway, auspicious water pots lined the sides of the road, coconuts set on mango leaves rested above shiny brass pots. Rows of decorated lamps accented the atmosphere. Being nicely swept and cleansed, the main road appeared free from dirt and dust. The densely foliated branches of the dark green banana trees prevented the sun's rays from shining on the path. Kettle drums and mridangas sounded melodiously in glorification. They created a festive atmosphere to greet the party of Nanda Maharaj. After making all the arrangements, Vrishabhanu Maharaj petitioned Suryadev, his worshipable deity, to make his endeavors successful. Then he went to the path beside the main road and waited expectantly for the arrival of his guests. Rows of fruit-bearing betel trees lined both sides of the lane on which Vrishabhanu stood. First he saw the attractive young prince of Vrindavan strolling before his relatives. Surrounded by his friends, Krishna illuminated the world with the brilliant effulgence coming from his lightning-hued dhoti. The gopis, cherishing paramour love for Krishna, strongly desired to embrace his lotus feet that now graced the earth of Varshana. Thus, Krishna, the personification of Sringara Ras, entered the vision of the eager king, Vrishabhanu. Other family members, such as the queen of Vrindavan, who is totally free from all faults and falsity, walk behind Krishna. Nanda Maharaj, who brings joy to the earth like a veritable manifestation of good fortune, and his associates followed behind. Seeing them, Vrishabhanu Maharaj rushed forward to warmly embrace Krishna, the moon of Gokula, who has attractive, curly, dark blue hair. After bending his head slightly to show respect to the king and queen of Vrindavan, Vrishabhanu led them to his palace. Upon entering the palace, King Vrishabhanu expertly arranged sitting places for his guests according to their position. He provided for all their comforts by engaging his servants in carefully and respectfully bathing, massaging, and dressing them. Everyone felt happy and refreshed from the fatigue of the journey after the warm reception. Yashoda entered the kitchen to check on Radhika. Appearing in Vrindavan as personified bliss, Radhika made a wonderful feast with her expert cooking and tasteful arrangements. Seeing Mother Yashoda entering the kitchen, Radhika offered her respectful obeisances. Yashoda, the bearer of beauty and fame for her family, felt boundless affection for Radhika. Smiling joyfully, Yashoda said, "The art of cooking is like the jewel and the ornament of praise for the female class. Even though your beautiful body is as delicate as a flower, you have taken on this heavy burden of cooking, and by doing so, your elegance has enhanced." Although Radhika had worked very hard, she did not feel the least bit tired. When requested by Yashoda, Radhika felt shy about displaying all the items that she had prepared. Mother Yashoda said, "Just see what amazing delicacies you have made. One can easily perceive all your good qualities of taste, beauty, and fragrance in these astonishing preparations. Your perfect cooking has turned everything into ambrosia." Then, giving Radha a full embrace, Yashoda congratulated her, saying, "Darling, bravo! I really appreciate your expertise in cooking. Seeing your skill has removed whatever unhappiness I felt within myself." Her face glowing like the full moon, Yashoda continued her joyful mood. She embraced the fragrant, youthful Lalita and Shyamasakhi and praised them, saying, "O Lalite, O Shyame, O Vishakhi, your friendly dealings with each other and your respectful attitude towards your superiors is certainly commendable, for this is the standard of behavior of cultured people." After glorifying Radhika, who is expert in all arts, and her girlfriends, Yashoda turned to Rohini Devi and said, "O mother of Balabhadra, learned persons always honor such mutual loving affection. This Radhika, who is delicate and tender by nature, has filled my heart with ecstasy. She appears in this world like an auspicious flower from Nanda Kanana, or a beautiful creeper of sandalwood. Radhika is the ripened fruit of the tree of Vrishabhanu's piety. Radhika is a rare jewel mine of the best qualities found in the three worlds." Rohini replied, "O Yashoda, everything you said is perfectly correct. There is no doubt about it. Moreover, the delightful son of the Lord of Vrindavan is an ocean of good qualities, and Radhika is Sumukhi, sweetness personified. O Yashoda, this pair of jewels is the central ornament on the neck of the goddess of Vrindavan. They give pleasure to anyone who sees or hears about them." Feeling bashful over hearing her praises, Radhika gently lowered her head in shyness. From observing Radhika's facial expressions, Shyamasakhi and the other gopis detected the joy swirling within her heart. They smiled slightly in understanding and thought within themselves, "Oh, Rohini Devi, your statements disclose our inner thoughts. Truly you are blessed. Without a doubt, rain gives cooling relief to one tortured by scorching sunshine. There is a deeper, more satisfying meaning to your statement that Radhika and Shyamasakhi are the jewels on the neck of the goddess of Vrindavan. Everyone holds this pair of jewels on their heads. Do you not feel repentant about engaging this delicate girl in such difficult work?" As the sun lights up the entire universe, similarly, with her pure consciousness, Kirtida illuminates her family and increases their fame. After embracing her, Yashoda said, "O Kirtida, why did you engage the youthful Radhika in the toilsome duty of cooking, which is usually done by the elderly housewives? You should not have caused such distress to the fresh, flower-like body of Radhika, who is wilted from the heat of the cooking fires. Don't you feel repentant over this?" Kirtida replied, "O Brajeshwari, indeed, I took a risk by engaging Radhika in that work. But the fact is that Radhika is an expert cook. And after all, this particular festival we are hosting will fill everyone with delight. The munificent king of the coward men, his wife and children, will all enjoy a wonderful feast here today. Actually, Radhika, who possesses brilliant effulgence, willfully engaged herself in this service with great happiness and enthusiasm. Moreover, Radhika has a natural ability in her hand, so that whatever she cooks exhibits the best qualities of taste, beauty, and fragrance. O you who have such strong affection for Radhika, being eager to please his guests, Radha's father humorously asked her to help. The majority of the feast preparations are being made in another big kitchen. In this kitchen, Radhika is cooking only a few especially delectable items. Is there anyone in Vrindavan not considering himself blessed today? But since you are the most worshipable lady in Vrindavan, I think you should take charge here. If that will make you happy, then I'm sure all the problems with the festival will be solved. Rajeshri Yashoda replied, Let Rohini, who is famous for her expertise in serving, distribute all the food items lovingly cooked by Radhika. Before Yashoda could finish speaking, Kirtida interjected, Wait, let my darling Radhika serve the king and queen of Vrindavan, along with their sons Krishna and Balaram, who are like a pair of fresh blue and white lotuses. Radhika should also serve Rohini, the personified jewel of all good qualities. The intimate friends of Radhika, such as Lalita and Shamasaki, who are also experienced servitors, should distribute food to Krishna's friends. Although this order filled Radhika's ears with nectar, it created a dilemma due to the rising waves of love within her heart. Radharani could not accept the proposal, but at the same time, she did not want to refuse the request. Inertia overtook Radhika's mind. As the gentle, sweet smile slowly disappeared from her tender, sprout-like lips, Radhika bashfully confided in her mother. Radhika said, I am feeling overwhelmed with feelings of shyness and reluctance. Therefore, I will only serve the Divine Queen of Vrindavan, who is the embodiment of absolute fortune, and her family members privately in the inner chambers. Let Shamasaki serve a line of guests sitting on the outer veranda. Shamasaki, a clever expert in juggling words, said, O doe-eyed one, your statements are unreasonable. Let your father Vrishabhanu, who is as powerful as the sun, more famous than Lord Shiva, and the purifier of the fallen, serve the guests sitting on the veranda. After listening to the sweet talks of these sakis, whose pleasing voices sounded like the warbling of swans, Yashoda, the reservoir of parental affection, said, O my two well-behaved girls, do not be afraid, but listen to my words and you will benefit. Following my suggestion, you should learn the proper method of serving. Now both of you become proficient in this art. After giving this instruction, Mother Yashoda, who is pure and famous, walked out on the huge gem-studded veranda. She ordered her servants to properly arrange the wooden seats. They fixed fine white covers on the seats and made all comfortable arrangements. Then Haladara, the brother of Krishna, who subdues the demons and whose bright complexion outshines the purest crystal, sat on the right side of Nanda Maharaj. Krishna, whose body is more brilliant than a blue sapphire, sat on his left. The Brahmin boy, Batu, who is an expert joker with a very strong and beautiful neck, sat next to Krishna. Subal, who is strong, wealthy, and full of deep affection for Krishna and the other Sakas, sat besides Batu. The respectable and handsome Nanda Maharaj, the main cause of Gokula's wealth, cleansed his feet and sat down. Everyone in the assembly drowned in joy upon seeing him beam a pleasant smile. Radhika, the goddess of personified beauty, came before the honorable king of Vrindavan and respectfully offered him lotus flowers in her folded palms. Then Yashoda summoned Radhika to serve the foodstuffs. With a heart full of joy, Radhika served Nanda Maharaj, while Shamasaki served Krishna and Balaram. Noticing that Radhika was not serving Krishna, Yashoda told her, Without your help, Shamasaki will not be able to serve properly. Why don't you help her serve Krishna? Although eager to do this, Radhika tried to restrain her restless heart. Soon, however, a bad star appeared to destroy her restraint and remove her fickle modesty. Radharani's mind is completely saturated with a mood of eternal love, and her blissful form brightens the world with a wonderful effulgence. Although her hand trembled due to fear, Radhika controlled it and served Krishna. On the order of Brajeshri, Radhika and Shamasaki served Krishna and his friends like Subal and Kusumavsava. Oh, look, boasted Kusumasava. Although I am the best among the Brahmanas, still I have become sanctified by honoring this food, which has been personally served by the hand of the daughter of King Brishabhanu. Do you know why this is true? Radhika is Mahalakshmi Devi herself. Is there any woman in the world equal to her? Hey, Krishna, my self-effulgent friend. After relishing the food cooked by Radhika, we no longer want to eat food cooked by anyone else. While Radhika served the food with great dexterity and devotion, Kusumasava continued to laugh and make jokes. Speaking in varying tones, he sometimes spoke quickly and then very slowly. With his funny talks and antics, he entertained the entire assembly. Pretending to be angry, Krishna addressed Kusumasava, "Hey, Vachal," talkative one, "take your meal and stop your mocking and joking. Do not create such pandemonium. Besides that, what is the use of all your silly talks?" Kusumasava replied, "Accepting your instruction, am I supposed to become like a dumb man and just eat silently? Even if I had 100 mouths, I could not properly glorify the superb quality of this food. Its taste is just beyond my imagination to explain." While eating, Krishna gave some food to a parrot that sat between him and Kusumasava. The parrot accepted the offerings with great happiness. Feeling grateful, he extended his neck and looked restlessly here and there as if preparing to speak. Observing the actions of the parrot, Yashoda said, "O best among the dvijas," that means Brahmins or birds, "speak out whatever is on your mind." The Brahmin Bhatu, Kusumasava, immediately replied in a loud voice, "Oh, just see, today I have become the best of the twice born." Yashoda replied, "I am not speaking to you, I am addressing the parrot." The parrot said, "O son of the twice born, Bhatu, do not show off your word jugglery. You seem to be more crazy and talkative than I am. Do not spoil Krishna's happy mood by speaking any more nonsense." Vrajaraj Nanda said, "From where has this wise bird come? Why did this parrot become morose upon hearing the glories of Lakshmi Devi and Radhika?" Yashoda said, "Just listen to the history of this parrot. It is not fitting to compare Radhika with one of the demigods." The parrot said, "Why didn't you give a suitable reply on my behalf?" After hearing these talks, Radhika and Shyamasakhi met in the kitchen, removed the veils from their heads, and started joking and laughing. Radhika said, "Oh, Shami, one with a beautiful face, these two twice-borns, Bhatu and the parrot, are engaged in some nonsense talk about me. So now you continue serving by yourself." After saying this, Radhika remained in the kitchen. Not seeing Radha, Yashoda thought, perhaps Radhika became shy upon hearing the parrot glorify her, so she stopped serving. Yashoda then went to encourage Radhika. Accepting her proposal, Radha served again, but in another part of the room. Noticing this, Yashoda approached Radhika and said, "It is natural for a cultured girl to feel shy upon hearing her own glories. But my darling, you are not the daughter of Brishabhanu, but you are the daughter of the ocean, O sweet-faced one. You should serve the same line you did before." Surrendering to Mother Yashoda, Radhika continued serving Krishna and his friends. Besides enjoying the meal, Nanda Maharaj especially appreciated the cooking expertise of Radhika. Fully satisfied, he laughed and joked with great joy. With great gusto, he relished the six kinds of tastes which Radhika had presented in a pleasing way. He gave the utmost praise to Radhika for cooking so perfectly. Balaram and his friends felt full satisfaction. Krishna experienced exceptional flavors while eating the food cooked and served by Radhika. Since all the preparations contained the fragrance of her conjugal love, Krishna savored the sweet madhurya ras of Radhika's heart with every bite. Brishabhanu concluded the festive occasion by joyfully distributing tambula, valuable ornaments, garlands, and sandalwood pulp to all the guests. Radhika enthusiastically served the mothers of Krishna and Balaram, who displayed sublime gravity and kindness as many sweets as they desired. While relishing the sweets and delighting in Radhika's service mood, the two mothers conversed amongst themselves. Yashoda said, "That expert talker, Bhatu, spoke correctly when he said, 'O friend, After eating food cooked by the server, you will not want to eat anyone else's cooking. Then Yashoda addressed Radhika. Hey, Vrishabhanu Nandini, your preparations give complete satisfaction. From now on, my dear son Krishna must only eat food cooked by your hands. He will no longer accept any meal cooked by another. So in very sweet words, I will seek permission from your elders and definitely they will allow you to cook for my son. For doing this service, I will reward you with opulent dresses and ornaments. From now on, you must come to my house and prepare all of Krishna's meals with a joyful heart. On hearing Yashoda's statement, Kirtita, Radhika's mother, said, O Vrajeshri Yashoda, you are the queen of our lives. Your order has greatly enhanced the beauty, love, and affection of Radhika. Those who know the workings of love will be pleased by your request. Every day Radhika will come and skillfully cook for your son. As soon as the sun rises, she will go to your house. By your mercy, the kingdom of Vrindavan now shines with transcendental glory and stands beyond the effects of time. Your pleasure alone is our ultimate goal. After receiving the consent of her elders, Radhika could now freely associate with her beloved from that day on. As Krishna continued to relish the nectarian foods cooked by her hands, Radhika's desire to offer him the sweet nectar of her lips increased day by day. Meanwhile, another Sakhi named Chandravali had tied up Gokula Chandra Krishna in the prison house of her heart like a thief. Whenever Krishna and Chandravali met, they looked immensely beautiful. At that time, the heart of Chandravali, who possesses the wealth of supreme beauty, would melt in anticipation, for she hankered always to be pierced by the arrow of Krishna's love. All the gopis headed by Chandravali were like flowers of love emanating the highly praiseworthy fragrance of the joy of meeting Krishna. In assessing the stage of their budding love, one could understand that within a year their love would flourish and clearly express itself. Sometime later, on the pretext of picking flowers, the Braja gopis met their beloved Krishna in a lonely garden decorated with fresh, untouched creepers and enjoyed intimate pastimes with him. Krishna, who is more beautiful than a fresh rain cloud, is the totally independent well-wisher of everyone. He is the sole object of love for the gopis and all the other Brajavasis devoid of envy. Now the Braja gopis freely displayed their love without any pretension. Because their superiors did not practice fault-finding, the young girls of Gokula did not fear criticism. Since their birth, the Brajagopis had an overflowing, loving attraction for Krishna. They no longer felt any need to hide their feelings. Fully exhibiting their frivolous moods, the gopis delighted in forest pastimes with their beloved. Discarding all inhibitions, they completely fulfilled their heart's desires. The husbands of the gopis observed all the proper rules of social etiquette, but for some reason, they did not prevent their wives from running to the forest. Just see the wonderful workings of Yogamaya, who made all the necessary arrangements to nourish the rasa of these eternally perfect lovers of Krishna. But surprisingly enough, under the influence of the same Yogamaya potency, the gopis felt extremely anxious and apprehensive about their illicit love for Krishna. They thought, we gopis are married to other men, therefore we are parakiya, or belonging to others. Besides creating such thoughts within the gopis, Yogamaya arranged that their secret meetings with Krishna remained hidden from their superiors. How did she accomplish this? The fathers and mothers-in-law and the husbands of the gopis thought of themselves as their superiors and protectors. For those having this false pride, Yogamaya arranged for a mayic expansion or duplicate of each gopi to remain home besides her husband, while the original spiritual body of that gopi went out to meet Krishna. Yogamaya performed these tasks perfectly. On the other hand, to pacify Krishna's parents, Yogamaya made a completely different arrangement. Krishna, whose character is praised by even Brahma and Shiva, is famous for his elegance and ability to control Cupid. Although these qualities usually disappear as a boy matures, tender beauty and impudent behavior mingled within Krishna's youthful form. Due to this, Nanda and Yashoda, who were tied to him by the creeper of parental affection, thought that Krishna would remain perpetually as their little boy. Despite their thinking, Krishna soon blossomed into manhood. At this time, the gopis saw Krishna as a handsome, most lovable young man, but his parents continued to see him as their darling son. As a result, Nanda and Yashoda did not feel any suspicion when Krishna met secretly with the lovelorn, lotus-eyed gopis. To satisfy the Lord's desire to relish Parakya Bhava, Yogamaya also arranged for the gopis to maintain the consciousness of identifying as other men's wives. Just see the amazing power of Krishna's Yogamaya potency.
Sunday, 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 Sun